Let's pray together. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come together and to have a time that we can study from your word and that we can help better understand the things that you would have us to do in our lives. Dear God, we'd ask you to be with Jim this morning. Help him to direct us in a way that we can see more clearly the things that your word has to say to us. Dear God, we thank you for this congregation, and we thank you for each one that is represented here. We thank you for you sending your marvelous Son to die for us. We're so thankful and we're so unworthy to be able to stand and sit before you. Dear God, we're so thankful for each other. Help us to be an encouragement to one another and help us to reach those who are lost. Help us to be the right example and help us to be humble and help us to be ever busy in your work. Watch over, care for us throughout this day today. And thank you for sending the rain that you've sent and thank you for sending the sunshine today. We love you so much and we're so thankful for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we are in 2 Peter, if you're visiting with us, 2 Peter, and we're into, now we're really going to get into about verse 8 today, and I am not sure, I'm not confident in just exactly how far we'll get. We basically have been going through the virtues that it talks about in 1 Peter in verses 5 through 7, and so one of the things that we talked about was how each of those build on the next one, how one kind of feeds the other one, and how important all of that is together with regard to our development. Any of those in particular hard for anybody? I mean, we talked about they build on one another. Any of those kind of more difficult for anybody? Again, it's a building process, but we talked about all of them, and I'm not going to go through them again, but it basically says that, you know, we've got to have those qualities in our life to be what God wants us to be the kind of person that God expects us to be. And he has an expectation of us, and it's our responsibility to do the very best we can to live by those expectations. So I guess the other thing I would say real quick is we've not got but about, let's see, how many more classes? Today is the 10th. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Just 6 more classes to get through the rest of 2 Peter. So we'll have to kind of figure out. I've kind of worked on a little bit of a schedule, how that works. But my goal is to try and get through, I'm 21, and then on Wednesday night, we'll probably start into chapter 2. But we'll just kind of have to see how that goes. Okay, let's go on and go to verse 8. And again, we're in 2 Peter, the first chapter. He's talked about all the things that have got to be a part of our lives. He's talked about the expectations that God has of Christians through his word, through his will. You know, the kind of person that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be working toward being godly people in our lives every day, and it's supposed to manifest itself in a lot of different ways. And the last one he says, when he says to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So we've also talked a lot about what Peter is discussing in 1 and 2 Peter, and that is the love that we're supposed to have for one another. And if we truly have love for one another, how does that manifest itself? How does love for one another truly manifest itself with us as Christians? The way we treat each other. The way we treat each other. And that kind of, that's a broad brush covering a whole lot of things, Darlene. So it really is. I mean, the way that we treat each other has everything to do with brotherly love being manifest in our lives and love being reflected, that is, of God in our lives, too. Yes, sir.
Faith without works is dead. Love without attitude and works and all kinds of stuff is dead. If you don't do it, I mean, I can say I love you all day long, but if I don't do anything, what's it mean?
Yeah, James 2:20, and that's one of the scriptures I kind of refer to a little bit later here. But, yeah, love has got to be an active, engaged thing. And it's part of what he says has got to be a part of our lives. But when he gets into verse 8, he says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And if you look at the New King James, it says, "For these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so let's take a look at what that talks about. So, being that way, being what it says we should be with regard to love, brotherly love, all those other characteristics, all those other virtues, is an individual choice. And it's not anything that I can make Sam do. It's something that Sam has to purpose in his heart and has to be pursuing every day. You know, one of the things that we said was choosing this life has to be what? It's a choice. It has to be intentional. Choosing the life of Christianity has to be intentional in the way that we think every day, in the things that we do, in the way that we go about living our lives. But it says if you choose to have these virtues as part of who you are, then you are going to be useful and fruitful in the knowledge of the kingdom of God. In the knowledge of the kingdom of God. What's the knowledge of the kingdom of God? Right here. So we've got to know this to be able to take it and apply it, right? And that kind of goes back to faith without works too. You know, how are we going to know what's expected of us if we don't do that? Some professed Christianity, but they didn't engage themselves in service. Do you think that happens today? Guaranteed, you know. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is, and I mean, as elders, one of the things we talk about is we say, okay, attendance. Attendance, a lot of times, can be one of the first indications of a lack of commitment. Y'all agree with that? How can we fellowship with one another? How can we learn? I mean, and that's being here when the doors are open to have the opportunity to fellowship, to have the opportunity to learn, to have the opportunity to know more and be encouraged in any way that we possibly can. You know, that's baseline. That's a fundamental component. Yeah, sometimes work can keep us from being here. Sometimes that happens, and that's part of what you got to deal with as an individual. You got to think about and decide and all of that. But back to James 2:20, you know, we've got to work at our faith every day. We've got to make sure that we're engaged. Life commitment and living was that's what Peter was talking about. And that's what we're talking about. Peter used a language device called a, let's see, I even listened to how this was supposed to be said. Leidatotes. And that is a language device to make a point by affirming the opposite. So that's kind of what he was saying when he said it the way that he did. The true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ points to the fact that if something is of truth, it's not knowledge that's self-serving. And that's what these false teachers were trying to get him to do. The false teachers that were trying to pull them away from where they needed to be, they were trying to get them to do what they wanted to do themselves or what the false teachers were trying to teach instead of focusing on the true knowledge. The true knowledge produces ethical fruit. Earlier in 1:3, Peter refers to the knowledge that was directed at glorifying God. And, you know, that's the kind of knowledge that we should take and try to apply to our lives every day. We got to glorify God in the things that we do and say, and the way that we live our lives, and the thoughts that we have, and everything that we do. Also in verse 8, the knowledge directs the readers to holiness through choosing to develop God-centered virtues. And how do we reveal those God-centered virtues? It's the way that we live our lives every day. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. New King James says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So when he's talking about blindness or short-sighted here, what do you think he's talking about as it relates to these people? Blind, short-sighted. If you don't have these qualities, if you don't take the knowledge of God's word and apply it to your life, if this is not who you're trying to be every day to the very best of your ability, then if you lack these qualities, you're blind or short-sighted. How would that be the case? Yeah, come on. We got two over here, guys. We got another microphone person? Just one, Daryl? Okay, then back here.
If you're blind or short-sighted, how can you discern where you stand spiritually? How can you look at your life and say, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or I'm on the right track? If you're blind or short-sighted, you have no clue where you stand.
So it's embodying those qualities that has impact on whether or not we're able to let those things be revealed in our lives.
Yeah, along with that comment, these are folks that have forgotten who they were, right? We've got the passage that tells us, right, you've forgotten who you are. You look at yourself in the mirror. You
right.
don't even know what you're supposed to be anymore. So it's possible for us to have begun this walk with God, become what we needed to be. But if we start to engage in these habits again, we can quickly get ourselves back to a point where we just don't even recognize what we're supposed to look like anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And that happens a lot, I think. I think it's real easy because if we're not daily working at taking knowledge and applying it to our character development, then how are we going to know what it is that we're supposed to be? I mean, it's hard for us to know that. And these people were being challenged by family members, by false teachers, trying to get them to doubt the commitment that they had made. And do you not have that happening today, too? Do we not have people in the way that they live their lives, and you're just looking at things going on in the world around you, and it might cause you to doubt a commitment that you've made? I think that happens as well. And in not making these virtues part of their lives, they fail to hear and understand and implement what was expected of them. The other thought that I came up with here is the fact that somebody becomes willingly blind. It's a self-induced blindness. And basically, we're closing our eyes to the truth because we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. We want something else more than we want that. And with regard to the idea of short-sighted, it's basically what's immediate and close, okay? Instead of long-term. Not looking at the long term, we're looking at the short. Not looking at the long game, we're looking at the short game. Immediate pleasure, right? That's what we're about in the world. That's what the world's about, is immediate pleasure. What makes me happy today? What fulfills me today? That's what the world's about. That's what these false teachers were about as well. In Hebrews 11:25, what kind of choice did Moses make? Short-term or long-term? He made a long-term decision. He could have been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Would that have been easy? That would have been real easy. But no, he didn't. He chose to suffer instead. And he chose to suffer because he knew that's what God would have him to do. So we got to ask about ourselves. Are we short-sighted in the way that we make decisions about our relationship with God, about the character that we develop, about our attendance at worship service, about our love for one another? Because if we let those things not be the way that they should be, then we've become really short-sighted with regard to eternity and thinking about what really matters and what's really important. If you don't mind turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Well, start with 16. Therefore, we would not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And there again, that's the other way that we've got to be thinking about God's word. That's the other way we've got to be thinking about our lives, is not caught up with the physical, but thinking about the long term. Brad?
Well, Jim, in my opinion, which ain't worth a whole lot, but, you know, our Christian life, we're not always on the mountaintop.
Right.
The verse you just read, I'm living that, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
I've got to keep returning to what I know.
Correct.
It doesn't matter where you are in your Christian life. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. He served God out of fear at one point, and that's okay.
Yeah.
He served him out of duty in another point, and that's okay. We do the same thing. But he grew to a point where he served him out of love. That's the ultimate thing.
Right, true.
But when you talk about us being short-sighted in the decisions we make, that's why we have to make those decisions. How many of us on a Wednesday afternoon when it's been a horrible day have let that voice in our head say, man, I sure do want to sit in my chair and do nothing until the morning?
Yeah.
But we made the decision long ago where we were going to be. We pulled ourselves up, you know, washed your face off and got here. And then on the way home, we have this in our head. I almost made the wrong decision. And it helped me because of this, you know, even those times when, you know what, I'm ready to walk away from God, I got to go back to what I know.
Yep.
And I got to keep returning to it and keep returning to it. And that's hard. It just is.
Yeah. And the other thing that we've got to do, too, is we cannot be, we can't draw back about encouraging other people. If I see somebody missing or you see somebody missing, do you think I can miss everybody that's not here on a regular basis? Do you think all the elders can miss everybody that's not here on a regular basis? The answer is no. So if you see somebody's not here, reach out to them. That's brotherly love. That's caring about somebody else. That's, hey, I missed you at service on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Because we all do have trouble and we all do have problems that we're dealing with. We need that encouragement.
Let's don't make this too hard either. You know, we don't have to say, you know, we don't have to have this big, long discussion with somebody.
Right.
Here's all we've got to say. It takes a 15-second phone conversation. Hey, this is Brad. You know what, Jim? I missed you last week.
Yeah.
It can be over. It's that simple. Anybody can do that. I don't care how shy you are. Anybody can do that.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing, too, that was a good thought I thought about being short-sighted. If we're short-sighted, it's also saying we're self-centered. Because we're self-centered. We want what we want more than we want what God wants for us. We've got to make that long-term commitment. And also, I like this thought, too. Short-sighted life is an indication of ingratitude for what's been done for us. So if we're short-sighted in the way that we look at what should be a part of who we are, then it's a lack of gratitude for what's been done for us and what's important. You know, we think about the blood of Jesus Christ and we think about what he did for us. It's basically saying, doesn't matter. Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my comment.
Sure.
As I'm listening, and I know that I've missed the visiting, I'm missing the preceding studies.
That's so. Okay.
On verses 6 and 7 here, you know, the things that he's talking about, the character.
Hold that a little bit closer.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's talking about the character of a Christian. You know, right. These are things that we strive to grow in. And it's just interesting, as I'm listening to the discussion, we tend to go to that leading indicator. And you made that clear, you know, attendance is not, it just happens to be kind of an anecdotal thing that we watch for. It's something that we see outwardly, but realistically, these qualities in verses 6 and 7 go so much beyond just the attendance component. But as a trap almost, I think we tend to fall to that attendance, which is the most superficial of them all. And it's important. It's absolutely important. But I think it speaks to the fact that for us to know how we're doing in terms of our faith, in terms of our brotherly affection and our love and our knowledge and all these things, it means we have to actually have relationships.
We have talked about that. That's a good point. But you're right. If that's all you're looking at with somebody is just whether they're here or not, that's not a true indicator of where they are with regard to those qualities. Absolutely. But I would say that if somebody is trying to develop those qualities, you would think that they would want to be here to be encouraged, to be able to have the opportunity to grow. So at the end of the day, it is about looking at the big picture, looking at the long term, looking at what God expects of us and saying that's what we truly want to do in our lives every day. So in verse 10, it says, therefore, brethren, and I'm looking at King James, and you can read what's up on there, New American Standard Revised, excuse me. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And in the New American Standard, it says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing of you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. That one is loaded. That's a loaded verse right there. So what did we say about diligent before? What is diligent? Yeah, keep on keeping on. I mean, diligent is something that's important, right? Diligent is something that you are absolutely committed to. Diligent is something that is really important. I mean, it means a great deal to you. And it says, if you do this, it says, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. And in this other translation, to make certain about his calling and choosing of you. Who has an opportunity to be in a relationship with God? Who has an opportunity to be in a relationship with God? Anybody that chooses to, Earthel, anybody that chooses to has the opportunity to be in a relationship with God. And if you do these things, practice these things, you won't stumble. So what's that saying? Everybody's got an opportunity to be in a relationship with God, and if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's strong language. Come on down here, Daryl, and get Darlene there.
It's very reassuring to us. If we do these things, we'll never stumble. How much more reassured can we be?
If we do these things, we will never stumble. It's very reassuring. But again, it goes back to the idea of don't be short-sighted. Think about the long term. Think about the big picture. Now, here's a thought that came to mind. So if when you say those that have been called, those that are elect, does that mean that we're guaranteed salvation? Let me ask that. Huh? Does that mean we're guaranteed salvation? What does this verse say about the guarantee of salvation? Does it say it's just guaranteed? And after you're called, you're going to be saved. What does it say? I'm going to get right to you. What does it say? Excuse me? Yeah, be diligent. And it says if you do these things. So it is qualifying how you're going to be able to be sure and be assured of salvation. Yes, sir.
We do this in every aspect of our lives, and it's sometimes interesting to me that we don't do it here. So, for instance, if you want to be physically fit, you have to work out every day and eat healthy. The minute you quit working out, the minute you quit eating right, you're not going to be physically fit. If you want to pay your bills and stay within your financial, you have a plan. You save, you do this. The minute you quit doing that, you may go bankrupt, may have to move out of your house. I mean, in every aspect of our life, we get that, but unfortunately, I don't really have to study my Bible. I can go occasionally to church. I don't really have to. Well, then what's the outcome?
Yeah, exactly. The house falls down. Earthel's got one here. Excuse me, Darrell.
Lowell Sully made a comment in one of his classes some time ago, and the scripture, if you raise up a child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when he's old, he will not depart. But he said he can depart. He will not depart if he follows that. So this is the point in our lives.
Yeah.
If we, and in 1 John chapter 1, verse starting with 7, if we walk in the light,
yes,
memorized.
5 through 7.
If is in there. If the converse, if we do not walk in the light, what happens?
Right. No, thank you, Earthel. No, I mean, this is a really important point. I guess back to the attendance comment too. You can walk through that door every day that it's available to us, and you can be out of relationship with God in a worse kind of way. You can be here every time the door's open and not be in relationship with God. Not in the way that he intends for us to be. And what Peter's trying to say is these false teachers were basically trying to get these people sidetracked from the commitment that they had made before they had reformed their lives and committed their lives to the standards that God had outlined. So the great promise made by God came through diligent commitment. And we have to do that every day in our lives. We have to be diligently committed to letting our lives reflect what God would have us to do. If God does call and choose through the gospel, and if that's the case, then everyone hears the truth of the message of the gospel is called to make a decision. So when you hear the truth, you're called to make a decision. Darrell, do you have one?
Yes, I probably won't explain this right, but when you make these decisions that we've all been discussing the last few minutes,
yes,
and we're sitting, that means I am. I'm sitting here thinking, well, I need to do this and I need to do that because of God's word, and I need, but it's not just me. It's my people that's around me. If I decide to stay home from church because of whatever reason, I have my wife that I want to come to church. Well, you don't go to church. Why are you not going to church? She sees either I'm sick or not sick, or
right,
or my kids. You know, we get down sometimes when our kids don't do exactly what we want.
Right.
We have to stay strong, because if we get weak, we're not helping them. We're helping them not to come. We've got to stay strong in our belief in God, so they have that example, that even if they are weak right now, that we're strong enough that eventually they can come back.
Yeah, and so it can be your immediate family. It can be the people that you work with.
Friends.
It can be anybody that you're having the opportunity to influence. And again, Peter's kind of making the point, it can go either way. Either they can influence you, or you can influence them. And you've got to decide what you're committed to. Somebody else? Clint?
I won't take too much time, but
no,
I just build on...
This is important stuff.
One thing that kind of what you've said, what Brad has said, and Darrell as well. Going back to what Brad said about reaching out to those who aren't here, and you've talked about that being important for us to do because the elders aren't going to catch it all. We understand that.
Right.
But having in my own family where family members have been withdrawn from, what I saw happen was the family members withdrew themselves from the church long before the church withdrew from them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very, very important that we reach out to them immediately. Because if you allow them to withdraw themselves first, then what impact does it have when the church withdraws? They're gone.
Right.
They aren't here. They're not involved. They're not engaged. They don't care about the relationships here. That part's over and done with. And I've seen in my life the family members specifically that I'm talking about couldn't care less at this point.
Yeah.
But the congregation where she attended at the time let it go on and on and on and almost refused to do what they needed to do until it was kind of forced upon them. And so I have resentment about that that I struggle with, that they let that go. They let her withdraw herself. And then when they withdrew from her, she, you know, couldn't care less. So I'll shut up.
Oh, that's okay. So brotherly kindness and love and the virtues of God and godliness and the character of God. Again, I think one of those things that we fail a lot of times on is brotherly love and the way that we reach out to try and encourage someone, the way that we try and let somebody know that we care, that we let somebody know that we're concerned about them. What's the worst that can happen when you do that? I mean, is anything bad going to come from you doing what's right? It's hard for me to imagine that it can be, but sometimes we're very timid about doing some of those things. Again, in verse 10 still, how did and does God go about calling and chooses his people? Is it arbitrary? It is not. And I want us to look at some scriptures, and I've got them on the board. Hopefully you can see them. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to what? The purpose of his will. Romans 8:29-30, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. So, are we predestined to be part of the kingdom? What's this right here say? It says we are if what? This is an if then. If we obey, if we are conforming to the purpose of the will of Christ, if we understand the sacrifice that was made for us, and we're doing the very best we can to try and live that way. God took the initiative in making his word available then and now. Whoever hears it either does it or they don't. They either do it or they don't do it. And that's an individual choice. Peter is just continuing to drive home the point that it's a self-conscious decision for us to be obedient in our faith, but we have to be diligent to make our calling and election sure through the life that we choose every day. Every day. You know, the way we get up and start our day every day, I told y'all recently that what I've started trying to do is when I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about heaven. When I go to bed at night, I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about getting there. And I'm thinking about what God wants me to be to get there. And we're all at a different place in our lives, no matter what our age is. But it does not matter what your age is, because we don't have any idea when our ticket's going to be punched. And you might think, just because I've got more gray hair than you do, that I'm going to go before you do. And that's not necessarily the case. I saw something on the news yesterday with some, you know, young person 20 years old, looked like the picture of health, just boom, gone. And it happens all the time. So we've got to make sure that we make our calling and election sure. And Peter closes with what I think is really strong, the fact that he says, do these things and you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. To Brad's point, are you going to have ups and downs? Yes, you're going to have ups and downs. But you will be able to remain faithful. And did they stray and did they have problems? They did. But that's why Peter says you've got to have diligence in the way that you approach this. If you don't implement these things, then you can and you will lose your calling and election. How about people that we've seen before that are Christians and they're just gone? They lose that calling and election? When they choose to not implement these things as part of who they were, they absolutely do. And the last thought on verse 10 is, being a Christian is not a mental game. It's an intentional life that we choose every day. It's an intentional life driven by the principles that we read about in verses 5 through 7. It's an intentional life that's defined by our submission to the will of God and the understanding of that the blood of Christ is what put us where we are, and it's what will put us in heaven for eternity. It's not verbal articulations or visually pleasing others. It's only forming our character into the moral character that's consistent with the life of Christ and his teachings while he walked on this earth in his ministry. False teachers or Christ, Peter said, you have to choose. And we have to choose today too. There's a lot to be tempted by in the world today. For these young people, for you parents that have young people, what a great responsibility you have. If you're a grandmother or grandfather, I am now. That's pretty cool. That's really cool. I'll just tell you, you know. And when I think about that young man, for as long as I'm breathing, what I'm going to try and make sure he understands is how important God is to me and how important it should be to him. That's the best thing I can give him while I'm on the face of this earth. Moms and dads, what kind of examples? Grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, what kind of examples are we being to kids saying what we choose with regard to what our character is? Because they're watching us every day. Everything we do, everything we say. And the choices we make could very well influence them. So, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you're also going to have the opportunity to influence a lot of other people too. I think that's the other thing that we would say with that. And then verse 11, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And in the New King James it says, for an entrance, if you do these things you'll never stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what's that talking about? What is the everlasting kingdom or the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What is that? What is it? I think it's now. It's heaven. I agree, it's heaven. What else is it? It's being with Christ. Agreed. The eternal kingdom. Well, let me ask you a question. Does the kingdom exist today? Yes. It absolutely does. Where does it exist? Here. Right here. So if you do these things, you will never stumble. And an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Physical death is not one of those things we like to talk much about. We just don't. It's just not one of our favorite things to talk about. But if we're part of the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as being part of the church, or the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and death is a bump in the road for eternity, to be with God, Christ, in heaven for eternity. Does that make sense? What do you think? It's the promise. What we need to do right now is we need to be living right now like we're going to be living for eternity. The kind of character that we have today is going to determine whether or not we're going to make it to eternity with God in heaven. If you think about the different ways that the church is described, it's described as the body, the family, the household, the temple. But the kingdom is one of the most common ways that the church is described. In Matthew 3:2, when John the Baptist was teaching, what did he say? kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Kingdom of heaven was at hand. Those saved represent the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ. And we've got to practice Christian virtues outlined to be part of the eternal kingdom now and forever. So that eternal kingdom that goes on for eternity is certainly heaven. But we're part of the kingdom when we're part of the church. And the things that God says has got to be a part of our character today is what gets us there. Because he's just said, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. So we're part of the kingdom while we're here in the church because we've defined our lives by the virtues that he said that's got to be part of who we are. And then we get that eternal reward in the kingdom that is eternal. Thoughts, comments, questions? Anything? Anybody? The other thing he talks about is he says the entrance into the eternal kingdom is supplied abundantly to those that are faithful and will continue to be a part of the eternal kingdom as opposed to being condemned for eternity. One of those two things is going to happen. We'll either continue as part of the body of Christ for eternity, or we won't. We'll be condemned for eternity. We've got to do everything we can to abide in God's word and let it be reflected in our lives every day. So in verse 12 he says, therefore I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Or the New American Standard says, therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. What's that talking about? What's Peter saying his responsibility is to them? Yeah, just to remind them what they knew, what they committed themselves to when they took on the body of Christ, when they made the commitment as Christians. Well, and back to the attendance thing, one of the ways that we get reminded is by being here. And that's not to say that it's everything, but sermons, classes, songs, remembering the crucifixion of Christ and his death on the cross, those are reminders of what we did and why we did it. Y'all agree with that? Do you not get reminded every time you're here and we do those things of what you committed yourself to and what God expects of you and of me? We should be reminded. If we're thinking about what we should be thinking about, if we're preoccupied with what time are we going to get out of here or where am I going to eat lunch today, and that's what's in our head, instead of, you know, I have really done a terrible job this week of letting the light of Christ be reflected in my life. And based on something that Curtis said or a scripture that got read or something we talked about in Bible class, boy, I've got to make some changes. This is something I really need to work on. You know, that's the reminder that Peter was trying to provide to them to make them think about who they were, what they'd been committed to, and if they wanted to be in heaven for eternity, if they wanted to continue to be a part of the kingdom of God for eternity, then they had to stay focused on what was important, and it had to be reflected in their lives. In verse 13, it says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Or yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, in the New King James, to stir you up by reminding you. So again, what's Peter talking about here? What's the tent? What is this earthly dwelling? It's our body. You know, he's talking about the fact he's going to die. He's talking about the fact that he's going to be gone. But while I'm here, I'm going to continue to tell you this and try and keep you focused on it. Okay, we'll pick up in 13 on Wednesday night, and we will do our very best to get through the end of the chapter. Thanks for everybody's comments this morning.